Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who is the host of one of the most critically acclaimed podcasts over on RottenPotatoes.com. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Sunday night, Big Brother Celebrity. We're in it, baby. Yeah, we got a lot. Well, we have an episode to talk about here. As we have a wonderful panel to talk about everything here with us. Of course, let's bring in a man who gets no break from the celebrity Big Brother of it all. Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm excited. I'm here for my my late night cake. It's the only reason I've shown up to this podcast.
Yes. Okay. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. I think, yeah, maybe that's like it's more of like a habit at this point of people are just like sleepwalking and going to go check their phones. And that's how they hear us at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like think about, you know, when you go out, you get up, you go to eat your late night cake. That's what it's like when I do this podcast. I'm just like, I just form words.
Okay. I can't, help but laugh when I hear you talking about the cake, because I remember some of your circle recaps from the past where you've explored the subject.
Yeah. That.
Yeah. And great detail.
I know what cake means, everyone. Get your late night cake.
Okay. All right. Here with us tonight, what a treat to have with us to talk some Big Brother, a man who, of course, follows it all very closely. But I'm even more excited to talk to him tomorrow about the 90-day fiance of it all. It's Puyi Zamakili. Puyi, how are you?
Always good. Always excited to talk about a spectacular episode.
Yes.
And not going to lie to you, did not realize we were going to talk about cake and groceries, and my mind's all messed up now. So thank you for that.
Okay. All right. Well, Puyi, very happy to have you here with us on a recap. But what a big treat it is. This is the real dessert here, because we are blessed to have with us tonight. Of course, you know her from the Challenge Rehap Up, from NGOG, new girl, old guy, but it's always so much fun when she comes on and talks Big Brother with us. It's Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
You know, I have my own like standing rule that until I am introduced, I don't like to say anything on the podcast. It's like my personal pet peeve. And you made it really hard with the cake conversation between you and Taryn, and I survived. And then the whole dessert, I'm blaming you. It's really my fault. Anyway, I'm thrilled to be here. I love, like a humble potato, I love making a meal of nothing, and that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm very excited.
Al, you don't have a poster of Chris Kattan and Cochran behind you tonight, do you?
No, I just have my usual framed art, my Seinfeld apartment, and my picture of mental world peace on the couch, obviously.
Okay, all right. But I just want to make sure that you didn't have any big reveals for us tonight.
No, just this is how I decorate my apartment. This is just my usual. I didn't do anything special for
okay.
you guys.
How's everything going, Allie?
Like, not good, but I'm doing, I'm happy to be here. Like, how are you, Rob?
Yeah. I'm tickled tonight. This will be fun to talk about everything going on with the celebrity Big Brother. Happy to have you back here with us to join our recap. Of course, we're back. We had a rare off night last night. Taryn, what did you do?
I watched Raised by Wolves.
Okay. All right. That was something. Uh-oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Prepping for that podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll be back tomorrow night after a live eviction. A little bit of a programming note. That's at 9 Eastern is the episode. So we'll be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern on Monday night. Of course, Taryn will be back in the morning with the live feed update. Make sure you're subscribed for all of our Big Brother coverage at robswebsite.com/BBfeed. All right. It was an episode that we spent a lot of time on the HOH. Taryn,
they're going to say it was an episode.
That was correct. It was an episode. What did you say, Taryn? We spent about 20 minutes on the potato rolling.
I mean, the competition ended at around 8:33. So between the recap opening and then the sort of like, and that's what happened reactions, then the HOH competition, we were more than halfway through the episode.
And so then we got a little bit of Chris Kirkpatrick and what he's thinking about the nominations, and then Chris Kattan eating cake, but it made it all worthwhile in the end to get into it all. All right, Taryn, is there a headline from this show?
I mean, the cake, really. The cake. I mean, the cake was the best part of the episode. Patrick,
yada, yada, yada. We mentioned the best part. It was the cake.
Yeah. And he's basically, as the HOH, he's trying to ride the middle. And that's like ostensibly the reason that they're giving us that he's targeting Mirai. And strategically, it is a sound decision in that sense. But I guess the real headline of the episode is that this is the episode where they had to pretend there was any real reason he was going after Mirai other than the drama that they refused to show us. And so they're having to sort of like edit around that.
Yeah. Puya, I saw your tweet about this earlier tonight, there's a mystery going on right now about why people are going after Mirai, why she is Mirai pariah.
Yeah, so we kind of talked about this with Taryn on the first live feed update of the season, where there was clearly something that had occurred while the feeds were down. And anytime the conversation tries to come to that, we don't get it. Teddy has said some stuff, but it's from Teddy on her way out while she was in the house. So that was really inconclusive. Even now, it's still so inconclusive. Some people seem to think that it's either Mirai threw like a shady joke at, you know, Chris Kirkpatrick's career's expense, or, you know, some other more serious stuff that has come up. Yep. But again,
why would they have to block out a joke about Chris Kirkpatrick's career?
Yeah.
You'd think if that was the case, you know, they'd throw in the Wax Street Boys music, it would be easily put on the show. So it would make me think it's the more serious one. But then also because they're not telling us, I don't feel comfortable speculating because I don't really know what's going on.
Right.
So we're really just sitting here being like, okay, I guess Chris thinks she's a comp threat. Like, no, that's not the case. But I don't know what is, sadly.
Yeah. And Taryn, is it mostly from Chris or are there other people that seem to feel this way in the house?
It's mostly Chris that was wronged, I think, in whatever way that he seems to have been wronged. But there are people like Cynthia and Carson and Teddy who, you know, granted they had extra incentive to feel this way when Teddy was up on the block against Mirai, but they certainly have talked about how they felt like Mirai handled it poorly, whatever it is. So they're not fans of Mirai, but Kirkpatrick is the only one that seems to like care about it enough that he wants to target her.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that story and see if we get any hints along the way. Allie, we haven't gotten to talk to you during this Big Brother season. We would love to hear what has been your reaction so far to all of the Celebrity Big Brother 3.
This is what's great about Celebrity Big Brother is that that's fair to say that you haven't gotten my reaction this season. It's been like 3 days. Mm-hmm. Like, of course not. But that's what's great about. I was actually had dinner with Brian, the great Brian Cohen last night. And he was like, all Big Brothers should be Celebrity Big Brother, which maybe doesn't sound great for you guys. But as just a generally casual audience member, Celebrity Big Brother moves super quick. The game moves aren't amazing, but they're moving, which is fun. And with 11 people, it's like there aren't filler people that you're wasting time with week after week after week getting rid of. Like, you get right to the jugular, and that's fun to watch. It's been fun to watch. It's been fun to listen to you guys. This episode, not so much, but I'm okay with it. And I think the headline from this episode is that, like, we've all been sleeping on Chris Kirkpatrick as like kind of like a slightly hot boy member of NSYNC. I'm just saying, I'm putting that out there. Puya's not happy with it, but
I saw this blasphemy earlier tonight, and I've not been able to recover. And I'm
that's the headline. We're all sleeping. As I've been watching this, I'm like, Chris Kirkpatrick is no one's favorite member of NSYNC, right? That can't be wrong. Mm-hmm.
His family.
Safe bet. Yeah, his family.
Not even his family.
Yeah.
Not even his family. I've always been a Joey Fatone girl, and I took my lumps on that growing up. But I think Chris, I saw him rolling that ball in the potato challenge.
Is it the goatee? Like, what is it? Is it the patch? Like, what?
It's not that. It's in spite of that. Listen, I don't think we need to get any deeper into it. I'm just putting it out there. That's the headline.
It was very confusing.
Okay. But it's there. All right. Good to know. Wow.
That's right here. What else am I doing?
Allie
here,
always comes in with the hottest of the takes on the podcast.
That's not fair. Like 3 weeks from now, everybody's going to be like, Allie called it before we all did. But
It's happened. Boy,
it's real.
TMZ says Chris Kirkpatrick can get it. Allie said it first. That's what we need.
Just one other thing before we get into the details of this episode. Taryn, would you say though that Celebrity Big Brother, that because so little happens, I guess, compared to like the events of a week in the regular Big Brother house, did you find that the TV show adaptation to this point has been more faithful to what's happening in the house?
Well, that's hard because on one hand, yes. But on the other hand, again, they're leaving out large swaths of what's actually happening. But what I would say is it's more faithful to the feeds because the feeds also have blocked those.
Yes.
So the feeds are less faithful to reality. Therefore, the show is also the show is more faithful to the feeds.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's something.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they, you're right. Like there are almost double the amount of episodes for the same amount of time. So like that's pretty wild in terms of like the amount of coverage that that they have. And yet it still doesn't always feel that way.
And there's a lot of filler. Okay. All right. So we see the immediate fallout of everything that went on with Teddy going home and Todd Bridges going up on the block. We didn't see that much smoke between Chris Kattan and Todd Bridges. Allie, did you want to react to the events from Friday night at all?
I mean, as somebody who may have been accused of snoring in my life, maybe not, I deny it firmly. I'm defending Todd Bridges. I feel bad about that. But I mean, I really loved Teddy in her short-lived time on the show. And I know she has her Housewives detractors, but I was pretty disappointed to see her go out as the first evictee.
Yeah. What was she doing that you liked?
That feels like a loaded question. I mean, I don't know. I think she had good instincts. I don't think she's like a student of yours and Taryn's, but I think she had good instincts. She had good fight, at least with what we saw on the show. I thought she made, while not a perfect pitch to Misha, like it was, there was something there. Again, good instincts. And I like someone who's there willing to fight, trying to play the game. I was like, Julie, like, wow, you really tried. And that's what I'm looking for in a Celebrity Big Brother contestant.
She really was the fighting spirit of any kind of resistance in the house. And since she left, which granted was only a couple nights ago, it's been pretty quiet. It's been pretty tame.
Yeah. You know, I didn't think she would bring anything entertainment wise, but yeah, she did seem like she was at least like a replacement level in terms of playing the game.
Yeah, she was bringing conversations, game conversations, and she was like pushing the needle in terms of just like the discussions being had. Whereas everyone in the house right now is just kind of like they're cool with the status quo. Maybe they'll have a conversation where they're like, "What about this?" But then they're just back to just chilling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the needle that's going to be threaded now. How it feels is it just going to we're going competition to competition. What's the competition result? We're going to play for an hour. Then we're kind of like laying low. It's still obviously we're only two HOH reigns in, so it could change. We're not saying it's permanent, but that is how it feels. And ultimately, I think when Todd Bridges ended up on the block there, I would have not been mad if that's what would have happened. Could you imagine now Teddy
what
stays
you talking
in?
About, Booyah?
It's messy.
Sorry,
oh God!
I'm so sorry. They, I'm I mean, so
listen.
Sorry.
Someone had to do it.
I'm so sorry. No, okay. No one had to do it. No one.
I'd rather you do this than bring up Chris Kattan looking attractive. So.
Well, now I've done both. So
we'll move. We'll take it.
I think did you finish what you were saying?
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm deeply sorry.
I just think there would have been like Teddy in would have been messy, and I think with a season that's this fast paced with celebrities that some are a couple of them are playing relatively decently, a lot of them are playing messy, that could have injected into the messy. And this is coming from someone who wasn't really a fan of Teddy and also is very grateful that they didn't lose the first person in the draft. So, you know, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Okay, so we see after the vote, Carson and Cynthia are feeling like, is our ship sunk? Boy, you know, Shayna didn't vote with us. They are feeling very much like the band has broken up. And Shayna comes in and Taryn, you know, I did think that this was pretty good gameplay from Shayna to make this flip away from Carson and Cynthia. Cynthia and vote with the house.
Yeah, I mean, it was the right move for her game. And I mean, the explanation she gives is not one I think that would work on anybody that had an option, right? Which is like, look, my vote didn't matter anyway. So who cares if I didn't vote with you? Like, what do you mean? Who cares? You left us holding the bag here. Mm-hmm. You bailed on
DeMond won.
Yeah, the bag hat. And so now you get credit with their side and we're screwed. How is that okay in any way? But you know, this is Carson and Cynthia. They're kind of just here to have fun and they don't really have any other options anyway. So, you know, it's they're like, all right, well, would you vote with us this time then? Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Allie, how are you feeling about, Shayna?
I love her. She was my first draft pick in the Noop draft. Shout out to Noop. I really like her. I think she flipped at the right time. I have an unrelated question. I wouldn't be on a podcast with you, Rob, if I answered your question directly. Separate question. Do you think that there's someone in Big Brother production or everyone in Big Brother production is just trying to figure out the line of like what they can get contestants to do? Back to the Monwan hat for a second. Like, I cannot believe they got every single person to wear that hat. I'm never going to be over it. The finale is going to happen. And I'm still not going to get over that every single person put that on their damn head.
So
anyway,
the hat thing, I didn't think was that big of a deal. I do think that the producers might have like an internal bet of like, what can we make them say in the diary room? What will they do in the diary room that like, what will be the line of where they will say, no, I will not say this. I will not do this.
You're underestimating how horrific that hat was to put on their heads. Like, I don't understand how you don't think that that's a big deal.
Because it was so ugly.
Hideous.
Yeah.
I actually considered cutting a grocery bag and making a Monwan hat for this. And I was like, even I won't do that.
I mean, this is
and I'm not a supermodel, yeah. Cynthia Bailey. She put that right on her head.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely a thing. I mean, it definitely happens in regular seasons. What ridiculous costumes can we put them in? They definitely enjoy it. And I'm sure that having celebrities in the house, they're like, oh, let's
humiliate them.
How far we can go here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that once you walk into the Celebrity Big Brother house, it's a little bit, you know, check your dignity at the door. I think that, you know, like the Monwan hat would be a weird line for somebody to draw.
Like an RHAP podcast, check your dignity at the door.
Right. That is right. Literally, you know, the Monwan hat is a lot better than anything phallic you might have to jump on or any like liquids being shot at you in a comp. Things could be a lot worse than the Monwan hat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm calling your bluff. I'm making a replica Monwan hat for the next time I see you, Puya. And
I will wear it.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. So... we see a little bit of Todrick and Cynthia talking. Cynthia is not really trusting Todrick. This was a little bit of a light Todrick episode here, but Cynthia does not really feel like... She says she likes him, but she doesn't think she can trust him.
It's a fair assessment. I mean, you'd think about it. You know, Todrick kind of goes all in into this alliance, then backs out, then, you know... causes, you know, pretty much one of the main reasons the rift gets caused. Obviously, Shayna's part of it, but for the most part, Todrick is front and center for that. And while this was a light Todrick episode with all the jumping and 360s Todrick did, I think Todrick really tried to put himself back in the spotlight, which, you know, kind of gives you everything you need to know about how Todrick moves in this game. But, you know, I can't blame Cynthia. It's a pretty bad spot for Cynthia right now. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Cynthia hasn't gotten to do much on the show other than she got the Monwan hat. And other than that, I feel like we mostly see, you know, Carson's perspective on things.
Yeah, which to be fair, you know, I like Cynthia, but there's not much to show, I don't mm-hmm. think.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Here's the thing about Todrick for me. And Taryn, you said it on one of the 50,000 hours of recaps you've done in the last 3 days, but like... I was screaming at my TV when Mirai and Teddy and Carson have all of the pieces and Misha even to like put Todrick as the center of the like betrayer. And they managed to not put that together. And even at the top of this episode, again, not considering feeds, Carson's focused on Misha and Misha's focused on Carson. And Cynthia, yeah, doesn't trust Todrick, but isn't really like driving that home. And Todrick is seemingly like, off scot-free here. And it's very frustrating, but is, I guess, you know, a feather in Todrick's game cap.
Yeah, they are. I would say the Carson Cynthia side of things are definitely still more focused on Misha for now. And I think part of that is that, you know, even though Todrick kind of betrayed them, they still have that connection to Todrick, right? They still have something there. Whereas Misha has always just kind of, they just met her and they have no relationship with her whatsoever. On the other side of things, Kirkpatrick and Shayna are a little more attached to Misha than Todrick. So it's a little bit of a give and take there, but it's better for your enemies to like you than your friends to like you, if that makes sense in Big Brother, because your enemies are more likely to target you than your friends. If Carson or Cynthia win and they take out Misha, that's fine for Todrick. If Kirkpatrick wins, you know, he's still targeting other people so far.
You lost me briefly because I don't really know the difference between an enemy and a friend, but I think even that speaks even more highly to me to Todrick, because like it's a bigger betrayal for Todrick to be like messing around on Carson and Cynthia than it is Misha, right? Like, I don't know Misha, so she's going after me. That makes sense. And it makes sense that you'd keep the person you have an attachment to. But I feel like if Todrick's day of reckoning is not coming, then good on him. But if you like Carson knew him, I've watched them on the judging panel. Like, we all know Carson and Todrick are friends. So it's kind of wild that he just immediately is targeting Carson and is not paying the price on that.
Nope. It's going to be,
it's pretty wild.
Wild storyline.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, I imagine if, as somebody that's watched them before and you know what their relationship is, it must be weird to be like, oh, so this is like the underlying sort of tension between them that probably has existed prior to this, that we just never had a chance to see.
Yeah, I didn't feel that. But now that you said it, I'm going back. I'm watching the clips. I'm calling Liana and being like, go back to the RuPaul Drag Race clips and let me know what happened.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. YouTube series. Go back to watch all of the videos and see like where all of the underlying tension was.
Yeah.
Puyism on Twitch, breaking it down with Liana. Can't wait.
Tune in Tuesday.
Let's talk about the HOH competition, the rotten potatoes of it all. And boy, this, we really, was there any potato joke left unsaid?
I think they nailed all of them. And if there's any that was unsaid, I'm sure we will uncover them right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, Taryn, this was similar to sort of like the HOH that Kyland won, but instead of everybody having like one shot in sort of this crapshoot, we let everybody go on for 2 minutes.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually like this competition. I feel like it's easy to watch, easy to follow, and it's actually, I think, a little more fair than most crapshoots in the sense that, or maybe not fair, but it's a little more winnable than most crapshoots. Because there's some strategy involved, and in two of them, there's definitely some, you know, you can actually aim the ball as opposed to like even the third one is pretty crapshooty, but the first two, if you can score really well on those, then you have a pretty good shot at winning, which is pretty much what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That said, it did feel like it went on and on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could have been cut down a little bit.
Could have been cut down a bit.
I will say this very briefly. I think that if they had played this, if it had been a one shot thing, or even if it had been, you know, maybe a minute or something, if they played this live on Friday night, I would have loved it. It would have been so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would have been great.
Yeah. But this went on, you know, quite a bit here in the Sunday night episode. Chris Kattan tells us this about the Rotten Tomatoes website.
I could have scored higher on some of my films that have received a Rotten Tomato.
Ali, I get the sense Chris Kattan does not really know how the Rotten Tomatoes works.
No, but isn't that like the pinnacle of living well? Is like you have no idea. You can't even be concerned with your reviews.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Couldn't be me. Like, I'd be like, oh, I don't know how like the iTunes like podcast ratings work. Like, oh, I don't know. I could have gotten more one stars. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to not know that.
Yeah, Puya, in Chris Kattan's world, it seems as though it's like the Rotten Tomato is like a Razzie of like if you make a bad movie, you get awarded a Rotten Tomato.
Yeah, like it was very much I received a Rotten Tomato. Mm-hmm. It wasn't this was my percentages. So he definitely didn't have that right read on it.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't go and check him up and see what his movies have.
Yes. I just checked.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Here.
This is a crime. I'm sorry. A Night at the Roxbury, 9%. Nice.
The audience knows, though. The audience this gets is, it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice on the audience score.
Yes. Chris Kattan has around 10 rotten potatoes, okay. And he has about 4 fresh potatoes.
Just in general?
The rest of them are no score.
Mm, okay.
Oof, 0 potato. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So Mirai goes first. Mirai gets a 51. Whatever. I'm more concerned with what the writers are doing here than what the players are doing in the competition. Mirai says this after she's told that her score was not very appealing.
You get a review that is not very appealing.
Well, I like my potatoes fried anyways.
You're not very appealing. Well, I like my potatoes fried anyways. Allie, as the resident culinary expert on the panel.
I thought you said it's the resident potato. I wasn't
no.
sure.
No. Okay. When you commonly peel a potato before you fry it?
Rob, it's an excellent question. I think what she should have said was, well, all of the nutritional value is in the skin of the potato. You know, mm-hmm. She should have said something there. You know, if you're at like a Five Guys, it's skins on, baby. It's really, mm-hmm. It's hit or miss on whether you peel it. But I agree that it did not,
not the right comeback.
Did not flow naturally from what they said.
Yeah.
I did spend 90% of the challenge writing my own potato puns. So I might not be the best, most reliable narrator on what happened in the challenge. I got a little distracted.
Please. Myself. Can you share any with us?
Maybe I'll throw some in and interrupt you guys mm-hmm. like I'm known to do.
Yeah, feel free to, people could leave those as on the Apple Podcast reviews, all of your potato reviews of this podcast. Okay.
My favorite was your striking Yukon gold. I don't know if we're getting to that, but that mm-hmm. was my favorite one.
That was like, they really like went all in into potato culture there on bringing up like the Yukon gold.
Potato culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was deep. All right. Todrick goes next. He panics at the end with a 36. Tater knots, Puya.
Nice. You know exactly what they were going for with this one. Mm-hmm. And that's not what it was. Yeah, I mean, Todrick, again, if this was a performance where your flips and your jumps also added bonus, Todrick would have won this HOH. Todrick had a lot of energy for someone who came through with that score. It was not great, but it was not the worst of the night, we found out. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He really dropped it like it's tot, you know?
Nice.
Okay. Lamar comes up. Mm-hmm. Lamar says, hold my potato. And he comes up and he does a 61, Taryn. Pretty good for Lamar.
It was pretty good. I mean, I was kind of, you know, he's a basketball player, so you would think he's got good ball control. And he actually did perform. I feel like usually the people you think would do well who are athletes, they do terribly and you're like, how? But he actually did okay.
Yeah, Puya, there was like an element of like rebounding, I think, also in this.
Yeah.
Like you take your shot and then you go and, you know, move to pick up the rebound.
Yeah, you got to collect the ball. It's interesting because based on the noises the ball was making, this felt like, you know, in the world of a, you know, a little inflatable ball and like a shot put, this was closer like a ski ball. I feel like it was like a heavier ski ball because it definitely was making the big clonks. But I think his height and his speed of rebounding did help him here big time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was he allowed to just kind of like reach over and just kind of
if it was close mm-hmm. enough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, Chris Kirkpatrick goes, and Chris Kirkpatrick ends up with the high score. Was it 75?
Yes.
Okay.
75.
All right. It was spudtacular, but I think the story here really is, Puya, as you were mentioning, Todrick Hall with the Olympic gymnastic floor presentation after Chris Kirkpatrick. It'd be one thing if Todrick Hall, 75, okay. But what a wild celebration for Chris Kirkpatrick's high score.
I mean, listen, Todrick did tell us two of his favorite players in Frankie Grande and Tommy Bracco are who he's getting inspiration from. And might I say, he showed all of it right here, right now.
Went full Frankie.
Yeah, exactly. And not to take the shine away from Chris Kirkpatrick's performance, let me go back to him, where he successfully, I think, beat the entire rest of the contestants was in the second one, where it looked like that was the hardest one to get. He somehow was able to hit it directly and have it go on a 90-degree angle down to like the 20s and get a 20 there. It all came down to the fingerling of the ball, and he nailed it. He was able to maneuver that exactly the way it needed to go.
Yeah. Taryn, for Todrick, this performance, this show of physicality, is that something that could potentially hurt him?
Not really, right? Because at this point, it's mostly his allies that are out there.
Mm-hmm. He has like four people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Carson and Cynthia and them they're not out there yet. So, if anything, he's just like, no, it's good. I am an athlete. I belong.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even catch that people were not outside yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it was very weird because they came out one by one, but then they showed the highest score to beat. Mm-hmm. Why even bother having them not? I guess because they would get strategies from watching the ball roll, but I thought it was definitely unfair to have like a mark to beat in this kind of competition where there are so many decisions to make.
Right.
It gave the people who went later a distinct advantage.
Yeah, it was like that HOH that we had during Big Brother 23 when Sarah Beth won her, where everybody else was mm-hmm. kept going one after the other. So Taryn, let me pivot then and say, then was it a good move from Todrick to show just how exuberant he was to his people?
Yeah, it's look, if there's ever a flipping competition, mm-hmm. I've got it. Not pancakes, though.
I need a pancake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to be sitting on like 15 potato puns and Rob just never comes to you?
Sorry.
You can taste the tension in the air, you know?
Allie.
It's just right there. It's heavy with.
Go for it. I want to hear them.
I just did one. You were distracted by my fake rage.
I got it. I interrupted. It was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's good.
Okay, well, Chris Kirkpatrick, he is the new leader at 75. Okay, after Chris, here comes Shayna. Rather uneventful. Nothing going on here.
Yeah,
she bumps into the table. Okay.
If you told me she did not compete, I would have believed you. I have no recollection of her.
Yeah, they went through it very quick. Very quick. Okay. Carson is up. Carson. He gets two 18s and looks like that Carson had a shot. He needed to hit a 40. He could not do the third part.
Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody was hitting a 40 there. There's not enough time to hit a high score unless you get really lucky on that mm-hmm. long one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did they say? That he was a starch raving mad?
If that's what it was, that's a poor one at that. That is not a good mm-hmm. one from them. Mm-hmm. Disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, was just too far behind. They couldn't catch up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're not all going to be bangers and mash. You know, they're not all going to be great. So I get you.
All right.
Next. I would like to evaporate. I know I've participated, but I would like to evaporate. Right
now. No problem. No problem.
That's not a pun. That's just a request.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cynthia comes through. She ends up with a 46. That performance should be fried. What does that even mean?
All right.
Why did they take the fly me a river path? You know, I know that was a JT solo, but I feel like it's still like in the incident mm-hmm. catalog, sort of. Mm-hmm. Disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They really didn't potate their time with it, you know. I feel like they could have really.
You know,
hey. Taryn's disappointment. Both of you hung your head in unison. That mm-hmm. was devastating. Mm-hmm.
Ali, you know what? Haters gonna hate. Potatoes gonna potate. You know, it is what it is.
Potatoes gonna potate.
So true.
Done.
So true.
I'm done. I'm out. I just want everyone to know I'm out.
Good night.
I have nothing left.
Good night. Okay. Here comes Todd Bridges. Taryn, Todd Bridges, that he is going to be pretty slick here because that he is not, he's trying he doesn't really want to win, but he's going to very convincingly go at it as hard as he can.
Just because I didn't want to win the game, well, doesn't mean I can't make it look convincing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're correct, theoretically. In practice, I don't know that that's the case here, Todd Bridges, as he gets like a 3 in the first one and like locks it in. Like, excuse me? Like, it's difficult to do that poorly.
Yeah.
Like, this is not golf. This is not potato golf. Like this, that's the second he locked in that first one, it was like, okay, sir, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Todd Bridges, he does the worst of anybody and even gets the...
The critics say, oof, 2 words, ouch, yeah. Potato.
And we got an oof. Shout out to our friend Eric Stein.
Should have stopped.
But only one oofs.
Only one oofs.
Not enough oofs.
Ouch, potato. Yeah. Okay.
Honestly, kind of a good burn. A good potato burn, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch, yeah. Potato.
All right. Last person to go. It's Chris Kattan. Here he comes. He comes out. He always looks like does not know where he's supposed to be. Does not know like where he needs a handler in the house, but he doesn't have one. And so Carson says this.
Who'd have thunk we'd all be hanging our hopes and dreams on Chris Kattan?
Not us.
Yeah.
But look at us now.
That was meta commentary by the editors of this episode, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how I felt when I saw the cast list. I was always high on the cast list, but I was like so obsessed with seeing Chris Kattan here.
Mm-hmm.
Then, people's champion.
Yeah.
You know.
And I mean, he's delivered beyond our wildest expectations.
He's still in the house.
Still
there. I mean, I was happy that he managed to stay upright because when he was running back and forth, he was having trouble.
Yes.
I say that about Akiva every week.
No, Chris Kattan would have smoked Akiva in this comp for sure. For sure.
So
all we heard the last couple of days on the feeds was, man, can you believe that Chris Kattan was almost the HOH?
Yeah. I mean, did they show us what score he got at the end?
He wasn't that close. Yeah. I don't know why they acted like he was close.
I was ready. I was bracing myself for, wow, like he probably got like a 70-something, 72. When he goes to the last one and says, yeah, so I need a 46 to tie, I thought, okay, they sold us a bill of goods. Like, this was not what was meant to be, sadly.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he was going to shoot the moon on that last one, but he didn't even like buzz in with whatever he got.
Nope.
He couldn't even find the buzzer, it seemed like.
It wasn't decorated in cake, so of course not.
Yeah, I was going to say, if only it was frosted and in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Chris Kattan, you know, it was, you know, so earnest. Like, he tells us how he really wanted to be the HOH.
I really would like to be the head of household. It's something to look up to.
Very respected position.
I mean, literally, he can look up into the room where he won't have to deal with the snoring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's peace and quiet up there.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, he can look down on that room.
Well, yeah, but they would be looking up at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they'd be looking up to him. Okay. So Chris Kattan goes, you know, close, no cigar. So it's a new HOH is going to be Chris Kirkpatrick. Carson is worried. And so Misha and Todrick are pumped up. And now we have officially the Chris Kirkpatrick reign here on Big Brother Celebrity. All right. So... Lamar comes to Chris. Lamar likes Chris Kirkpatrick. But when we get sort of distracted with Todd Bridges has chicken legs.
It's a weird segue. It was like in the diary room, Lamar's like, you know, Chris Kirkpatrick, he's cool. And then just randomly, he's losing his mind over Todd Bridges' legs. At first, I thought, is he like talking about his boxers? No, he's full on talking about the size of his legs.
Yeah. Allie, when will the body shaming of Todd Bridges come to an end? Todd Bridges has a bad tattoo. Todd Bridges snores. I don't know. That's, I guess that's just sleep shaming. Todd Bridges has chicken legs.
Todd Bridges needs to self-evict. Like, he is burning daylight here. Like, his reputation is dwindling faster than the cake that Chris Kattan is going for. I think for everyone's sake, he's got to go.
So, all right. Todrick and Chris talk. Chris wants to take out Mirai because that's the only person that Chris is in tight with. But there's still a lot of talk from Misha about we want out Carson. Taryn, this was basically the story of the last 30 minutes minus the cake stuff of Misha wants Carson out, but Chris wants Mirai.
Yes. And that, I mean, that's basically been the story the last few days in the feeds when we've been able to watch them. And, you know, there's not really much more to it than that. Really, it's just this Chris Kirkpatrick knows what he wants, which is Mirai out. Mm-hmm. And Misha and Todrick have been kind of like, but wouldn't it be great if we did this? And he's like, no. Okay, but maybe? No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
No.
Yeah. They have really put himself in a bad place because when it came down to last week's vote or last cycle's vote, they pushed for him to vote Teddy against his personal interests. And they cited, listen, if you win HOH, you can go after Mirai next. That's all cool. And that was kind of, you know, what he hung his head on when he said, okay, I'll do what the squad wants. And now I think the more they're pushing, the more Chris has found himself realizing, you know what? I'm kind of in the middle here. Like, I don't have to be devoted to their cause. They'll do that. And I know Carson and Cynthia will not do me. So I'm sitting pretty. And, you know, he's not wrong. Him and Shayna are in a really good spot as a result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're going to see Chris working with Shayna. It is this interesting setup of these voting blocks that we have of basically the Chris and Shayna, the Carson and Cynthia, and then also the Todrick and Misha, and then also the three stragglers, I'm not including Mirai in this, if Mirai does go home, where it's, you know, Todd and Lamar and Chris Kattan.
Well, Todd and Lamar are a bit of a duo themselves.
Yes. Yes.
I would attach them to Misha and Todrick for the most part. They're pretty locked up with them for now, at least.
Yeah. Okay. So, not the greatest gameplay ever, but at least, you know, a board that we can follow.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's clear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not a lot left to interpretation.
Yeah.
It's no week one of, Big Brother 23.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. Carson works with Chris. Don't get rid of me. And then basically pushes, tells Carson that he doesn't mind keeping Carson in the house so he can, sit back and watch where Carson and Cynthia go after Misha and Todrick. Allie, Chris looks well positioned.
Yeah, I think unlike his time at NSYNC, he's sort of like number one here, at least close to the top. Mm-hmm. It's tough, right?
Were there duos in NSYNC, do you think?
I would love to get into this with you for like 45 to 30 hours, 30 to 45 hours. But I don't know that I don't want to derail this podcast there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard for me because I thought Carson was so, as you guys talked about, Carson was like the narrator episode one. He was so fun. He gives great diary rooms. I like hate seeing him on the bottom here, and I don't know what his way out is. And I almost think like him making good pitches to the people in power is almost worse because he's obviously the bigger threat than Cynthia is here. Mm-hmm. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed for Carson, but I'm kind of worried about it.
Okay.
Although he escapes domination here, but I am worried.
Can I just say I'm just looking at the live feeds and there's a close up shot of Chris Kirkpatrick right now, and I'm pretty sure that anytime I see him from now on, I'm just going to be thinking of you, Allie.
Oh, Chris Kirkpatrick! I was like,
yeah,
say more.
Is he giving?
I've got another frame I have to replace here.
He's just kind of like laying back like this, and I'm just like,
yeah, giving hot.
That's because you see it, Taryn. That's because you see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you see it. That's well, have you seen a before and after shot? Because he really, the glow up is extremely real from the 90s.
Oh.
The glow up, you said, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Pull him up.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
really become more.
Yeah, Chappelle more just tweeted palatable. A picture of him from the 90s. I agree. Glow
is
up.
Is it the picture I sent to Chappelle earlier?
Yes. Most likely.
Okay. So let's get to what the people came here for. Let's talk about Chris Kattan.
I feel like we've done a good amount of what they came for.
We tried. We attempted. We attempted. Okay. So we start off Carson Can Cook. So, Allie, everyone knows, well documented, you are a baker.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of Carson's cake?
I mean, if it's getting a man out of bed in the middle of the night multiple times, it's you can't argue with that. That's a delicious cake. Mm-hmm.
Taryn, do we know what night this was?
Oh, I mean, not the night that it was made. No, I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, do you think this was even pre-feeds?
It might have.
No, because the gif of him going in front of the memory wall has been on Twitter for like when the feeds came on.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know which night though.
The silhouette.
Him getting the cake was definitely on feeds. I'm not sure if it was made on feeds.
Okay. Mm. All right. I mean, boy, this is a miracle that this cake in a house with 11 people has lasted this many days, especially when Chris Kattan raids it. Like, are they have-nots? Like, well, how has this cake doesn't get eaten during the day? Chris Kattan wakes up in the middle of the night. He's the only person that ever eats the cake.
Well, he personalized it. That's key.
Yes.
I think that's the big concern. In a COVID world, in a regular world, but in a COVID world, you're going forks in to that cake and everyone knows about it. That's yours. You personalized
it's been
it.
Contaminated.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's been documented. Chris Kattan contaminated the cake and that's why nobody else is touching it. But you could eat from the other side, right, Allie?
Rob, you tell me. You don't strike me as like a trimming from the other side kind of guy.
I
feel like you'd be.
I think if I really wanted the cake, I think I would. If I wanted said cake, I think I would. I would eat from the other side.
Yeah, the cake has enough width to it that I will go to the other side of it if I'm really wanting to. Whereas, like, you know how some people will be like, here, you can have a bite of my sandwich, but from the backside, I'm like, no. The sandwich is like, it's here, your hand's been on it, no. But if it's like this corner of the cake, if you're bottom left of the cake, I'll go top right of the cake. No one's touching that part of the cake.
Once it's contaminated.
It's been contaminated.
I'm with Taryn.
He's going there in the middle of the night. The lights are off. You don't know what his aim is like as he's, taking grabs.
That's true.
His aim? Yeah. Oh, my mind was elsewhere. I was like, what is he doing to the cake? No,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, get your head out of the Gardic phone.
I should. I really should.
Maybe they think he's like going into the cake like mango style, like just like face first, like no utensils into the cake.
I was going to say, I'm being generous by assuming there were utensils. Did we get eyes on utensils?
Yeah, he had a fork.
I saw a fork.
He definitely had a fork.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. A fork's not enough, though. A fork is not enough.
Is the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, Chris Kattan, this was such a great segment that we get like the silhouette of Chris Kattan, like moving across the memory wall. Like, it was beautiful.
It was. And I think, I mean, relatable to all humans, right? Like the idea of late night, you know, there's cake or whatever it is that you're desiring, and you get up, you go over there, and you just go ham on it, and you're just like, yes, I'm gonna regret this in the morning, but tonight it's you and me.
Mm-hmm. It's you and me, cake. Yeah. It was, for me, the whole scene was great. The fact that we got a couple nights of it was great. What completely sold it for me was Lamar Odom making the observation and knowing that Chris Kattan is the cake fiend that walks the night. Like, he knew where Chris Kattan was going when he stumbled out of that bedroom on his way to the kitchen. It was great.
Take the cake!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I thought that he was gonna like get spooked and so like run away when Lamar and Mariah were awake.
He firmed it.
He did it in front of them.
The second night when the lights turned on as he was doing it, I was fully expecting him to like scurry away. but he just was like, no shame. No. Thanks for turning the lights on.
He had no shame. And so, he just was going to keep going back to it. I thought it was going to be like a storyline of that, like, oh, we have to put him on the block because he's eating the cake. That wasn't for him. like BB15, the guy who was drinking the everybody's wine in the storage room.
I mean, it was a storyline that that Teddy, on the day of her eviction, they were talking about how she was still, they were still trying to get Lamar's vote to keep Teddy. And somebody mentioned that she had said, because she's probably going to be voted out anyway, she's not going to be doing any dishes. And that was the final straw for Lamar. He was like, all right, definitely not voting to keep her then. Which is why on her way out, she says, enjoy your dishes.
Yeah.
And perhaps also why he says,
can we sit back down? Oh, we have to walk her out.
That's the best.
Do I have to do anything here?
Yeah.
We have to walk her out.
Yeah. Taryn, and the pancake Lamar was asking about is not this cake.
No, different pancake.
Different pancake. Okay.
I need a pancake.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Can I ask you the technical question? Yeah. Okay. So typically, you know, I'll be honest. A cake like that is not just going to survive 3 nights in a house that I'm in. That cake is gone. So
first night though, it got contaminated.
That's right. Yeah. Contaminated is hard to say. So my question here,
it's hard to say.
It's not, the foil isn't on it, Taryn. So it's not completely covered. It's like loosely on it and it's just sitting out.
Yeah.
At what point is this supposed to get refrigerated is my question.
Also, no, this is a house with a famous ant problem also.
Yes.
they already had the ants. So.
is that the ants attacked the cake?
Yeah, he's having Chris Kattan.
Especially Chris Kattan was making a lot of crumbs. I'm just going to say, I don't think he was getting out the dustbuster at the end of this.
No,
honestly, all I've been able to think about is always offer Puya a bite of my sandwich because he'll refuse to have it, but I'll get credit for the offer.
Yeah,
I'm still on
that.
I've learned a lot here tonight.
Smart.
About okay. Chris Kattan's crumbs, contaminated cake, and Puya sandwich eating. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there was a conversation that was like, should we put the cake away? Should we throw it away? Like, I don't know. And they were like, well, no, let's leave it out. And then hopefully it'll keep Kattan around. You know how you leave out food for like a lost cat or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to be clear, Rob. This is what you said the people came for, right?
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
I'm gonna issue some homework for a listener here. Okay, I want to do that. Take the BB10, the infamous fight, the infamous final words of that fight. Anybody want cake? And somehow edit Chris Kattan going to get cake into it. I beg. I know you can do it. The technology's out there.
It exists. One of you
got this.
It exists. You got this. The super cut. Wow. Yeah.
Carson's cake? I haven't tried that before. I have no idea what it tastes like.
He's the only one that's tried it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Puya, before I forget, I just want to compliment you on the draft night when Chris Kattan came up. The audience is thrilled because that's their pick in the draft. When you said Chris Kattan, Knights on the Block, very. I just wanted to say again, what a great moment that was.
I appreciate that, Rob. Mm-hmm. I appreciate
and
it.
True,
it
was one of my true hours. Prophecy.
Yeah, I mean, where is he now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Chris Kirkpatrick, he's still looking for a nominee. We see him talk to Lamar. Lamar, he's been a team player, Taryn. I heard you and Amon talking about this conversation where it seemed like that Lamar explored this a little bit more than we saw in the episode.
Yeah, Lamar essentially was like, oh, you're putting me up? Well, did what I came here to do, so I'm good. I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. And Kirkpatrick was like, wait, but yeah, I don't want you to go. And he's like, yeah, but
yeah.
Can I ask a question to the expert panel? Mm-hmm. How often does that work? That like volunteering or showing a willingness to be a pawn actually keeps you off the block?
It doesn't.
Never.
And even in this situation, like to hear Kirkpatrick say it, tell it on the feeds, it's that Todd was also in the room saying, don't do it. Telling him actively, please do not put Lamar on the block, which is why he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just want to believe the narrative I'm being told, you know, as a reality TV fan, and it's upsetting to me that no matter how much you keep up with the live feed tweets and the recaps, you're still missing 90% of what you need to know to watch the show.
honestly, watching feeds is a bit of an endurance challenge and it builds up your patience. Like Celebrity Big Brother feeds are pretty much cut 50% of the time. And you're just sitting there patiently listening to the music and then opening your eyes, immediately unmuting. It's a whole ordeal.
Well, as a listener, so anyone that does it. Yeah. I'm grateful for all of
yes,
you.
Yes, thank you.
I'm not doing that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Taryn, did we know if Chris Kirkpatrick did have a conversation with Chris Kattan before you put him on the block?
He did not. When he talked Ultimate to Misha blindside. About his idea.
His mouth was
about,
full of cake.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Misha essentially told him, if you tell Kattan he's a pawn, then he's going to tell everybody that he's a pawn and your intentions will be broadcast to the whole house. So don't tell him anything. And he took that advice and just blindsided Kattan.
Mm-hmm. We have one more conversation between Chris and Misha, and Chris is saying he wants to go after Mirai, and Misha's really pushing for, you know, Carson is the, you know, he's the head of that whole other side of the house. And Chris Kirkpatrick, you know, fairly is like, let's just two people.
Yeah. It's
not that big a deal. Like, it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
If he's the head of the snake, it's not a very big one.
Not a long snake.
Like a gardener's thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we get to the nominations. It is going to be Chris Kattan and Mirai. But yeah, first, kind of a purple episode for Mirai on an episode where she is nominated again.
Right, which is what brings my frustrations up with it. You know, it's well documented at this point. I drafted Mirai first. On Twitter, I'm championing Mirai. I haven't seen much of Mirai. I don't think Mirai is the best game player by any stretch of the imagination. But if Mirai is to be the one to leave tomorrow, what a sad way to let someone go like this. We literally got nothing from what happened. We got nothing from why she might be leaving. All we saw was her in the comp, and she kind of got more because she was the first one to do the comp. I feel like if she was in the middle in the Shayna spot, she would have been yada yada there too. Mm-hmm. So it's just sad. It's just sad to see it be this way.
Yeah.
She's struggling in the house. I mean, she's talking about it even, you know, as we speak or on this feeds today, she's so much younger than most of this cast. And she's really having trouble fitting in and having anything to relate to, with any of them. And so it's tough.
You know, we've seen her with Lamar a few times. You know, she had that conversation with Lamar the other night. We saw her like late night, like on the couch with Lamar as Chris Kattan was raiding the cake. Is that who she's closest with in the house?
It's one of the people. I mean, she's at least got like the athlete thing, you know, Olympics thing with Lamar. But when like Lamar is the person you can relate to most, and you know, he's going around talking about needing pancakes. That's kind of tough. She's got Misha as kind of a game relationship, but that's somebody that put her on the block, that she's now kind of like indebted to in some ways. And again, like she's got this whole situation with Chris Kirkpatrick who, doesn't really like her. And, a lot of people seem to not really like the way that she handled the situation. And so, it's tough. I would say, probably Lamar is the person closest to her.
Okay. Well, Mariah's on the block and Chris Kattan is on the block.
I'm surprised I got nominated, but that's okay, Chris. I'm ready to get my dukes up. Let's have it. All right.
Get your dukes up, everybody. It's about to go down.
Yeah. All right.
When he said that, my thought went to Tony Vlachos in Winners at War. And then he went, meow.
Meow. Yeah. Chris Kattan. Another one of his hilarious characters. Boy, do you think he'll host SNL when he wins?
Don't they hate him?
I don't know. I think there's some alum that don't love him. Okay.
Yeah. Regardless, no, I don't think so. I don't think Celebrity Big Brother will increase the odds that he's hosting us.
Okay. Do you think they'll just have him play in Big Brother 24?
I think that's more likely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All they need to do is leave out some cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would, you know, after the first Celebrity Big Brother, they really tried to integrate like the Celebrity Big Brother people like into the following season. Was it BB 19 or BB 20 that they were like showing up? Like, didn't Mark McGrath host or did he come back for the second Celebrity Big Brother?
McGrath came back. I think they had Ross and Marissa doing like an after a talk show
on their Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. So
catch Todrick in the backyard next season.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, that's the real reason he's here, right? He ran the pilot.
Yeah.
After BB 23 and he's hoping to get it picked up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else on this episode? We got some questions and then we'll talk some live feeds.
I'm shocked we even had this much.
I know.
Much less than
an hour. An hour. Can you believe it, Allie?
Rob, I've talked a lot longer with you about much less, so mm-hmm. I'm not surprised. But mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It never ceases to amaze me.
Okay. All right. I mean, we can make it this nonsense of an episode last like it's one of Carson Kressley's sheet cakes.
Not that.
Okay.
You can only
hope. All right. Let's take some questions from our listeners. By the way, robswebsite.com/BB questions. If you want to send in questions for the panel, that's how you get them into the show. Got a couple of questions. Will says, if the veto gets used on either Nom tomorrow, who would be the best replacement Nom for Chris Kirk's game? Should we talk about that I guess it's not a spoiler at this hour, right? Taryn, would you constitute that discussion as spoilers?
I think there are lots of aspects of that competition or that question that would want to stray into spoilers.
All right, let's talk about that when we get to spoilers, okay? All right. Rad Daddy wants to know, every season seems to have at least one big fight. Who do you think will have the biggest fight this season?
Mariah and Chris Kirkpatrick.
But
we didn't see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second nominee, Todd Bridges versus Chris Kattan.
Okay.
What about Cynthia versus Todrick? I love betting on a housewife. I know nothing's brewing yet, but like maybe something could happen there.
Mm-hmm.
I could see like Misha getting into an argument with maybe like with Todd or something.
Okay.
I mean, I could see Misha getting put on the block through Carson and then not being okay with it and then being upset with somebody as a result. I could see that happening.
All right. Here's one from Alex who says, why do people continue to lock in scores that are worse than the current leader in these HOH competitions? I do think in this case, the time was running out.
It's 2 minutes. You have to, like, if you don't lock in a score in all three, you get a zero, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, especially with the last one going up to 50, you could always be like, well, maybe I'll get a lucky shot here, but I have like 20 seconds. I have to move on. So.
Mm-hmm.
It also seemed like they weren't really keeping track of the math and like looking up at the board. And some of them were just like, it looked like it was above 20. So I hit the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The Poisonous Cake wants to know, can we talk about how the competitions for the season of Celebrity Big Brother seem to be better than regular Big Brother? I mean, let's not get carried away here. Poisonous Cake.
I think that's saying something about what Poisonous Cake thinks about the competitions of regular Big Brother more than Celebrity Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot about how much they like potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let me do this one from Naomi. Is loud snoring or any other annoying habit a legitimate reason to want someone out of the game? Look, your reasons are legit, whether you think they're legit or not.
Yeah. I mean, what's your definition of legitimate here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your definition of annoying habit? Listen, as a snorer myself, I have to be vigilant here.
I mean, it all comes down to every individual person and their rubric of what's valid, what's not. If someone is only thinking, okay, it has to be a strategic reason, then no. But if it's like, I just don't like living with this person, then that's different. That's their rubric. So it depends on the person.
It also gives you something to say, right? Like it might be strategic, but it's like, oh, they're annoying the house. It's anything to pad your reasoning.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then a question here from Stan who asks, is Chris Kattan the first house guest to be seen more in the edit than on the feeds? Taryn, how much is this a phenomenon that happens where somebody might be like big in the TV edit, but rarely seen on the feeds?
I would just say an answer to this question. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this is a unique storm of circumstances here where the feeds are down so often. They've been up for such a small amount of time. And he is genuinely like non-existent on them. And he is all over the episode. So it may be the one and only time.
Mm. So I would think it would happen, you know, a little bit more.
Well, normally the feeds are actually on and you actually see people on them.
Got it.
Yeah, this is the thing.
If you had to assign a disparity between Big Brother 23, is there anybody who was more seen in the TV show than in the feeds?
I mean, I would say if you're going off of like feeling, right? Yeah. Like I feel like I see them on the show more than I see them on the feeds. Then, yeah, there are plenty of people like Johnny Mac they're mentioning in the chat who was very represented in the episodes, but was very like low key on the feeds. But I think genuinely actual screen time, he's been more on the show than the feeds so far, even though the feeds have the show in terms of actual length by like, you know, 6-1 at this point, probably. Yeah.
I guess it makes sense. Like, he's like seems to be sleeping most of the day and then, you know, wakes up for cake. And then they get him in the diary room at some point, which you're not seeing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, think of the nomination day as the biggest evidence. He was pretty much out the whole day, like asleep, and then wakes up and then a little bit later he's nominated. Like, he really didn't have a lot going on that day. So I think, you know, I feel like ultimately, especially if you're a celebrity, it's a net positive, right? Because you more want to be on the screen more than you're on the feed. And he's getting that in abundance. So.
Hold on. I knocked my headphones out here for a second.
Rob, I had a great pun. You missed it. It's fine.
Sorry. I was reaching to get the taboo buzzer so we could do the spoilers and I knocked out my headphone wire, but I lost my programming in my ear for a second. It happens to the best of us. But back to the teleprompter.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. Anything else before we get into the talking about the feeds? And tomorrow night, we'll have a live veto. We'll have an episode. We'll have an eviction.
Yeah.
Lots to look forward to. All right.
Pretty interesting.
All right. Why don't we get ready to get into the live feed spoilers right about now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. All right. Wish I had a cake right now. All right. So
I've got one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey.
All right. Keep it for the stream, Taryn. Come on.
Instagram. Is it made of yogurt?
Okay. All right.
Good joke, Allie. Mm-hmm.
Let's get caught up, Taryn. Anything new at this hour?
Well, I can update you on the veto replacement situation. Mm-hmm. Because that's basically what we've got to look forward to at this point. If Mariah does not win the veto, she is seemingly going home right now. I feel like that could be a little more up in the air if there were actual time to talk after the veto, but it's all playing out live. So as of right now, there hasn't been any talk of flipping the vote to keep Mariah if she stays on the block. Like I said, I don't think it's impossible that could happen. If she doesn't win the veto, but without much time to talk about it, I would wait to see if they talk about it beforehand. Thus far, they have not. If she does win the veto, then initially the plan was to put Lamar on the block and send Lamar home. However, today, Kirkpatrick has changed his mind and he is now set on sending Catan home as his backup. And in order to do that, he has considered the option of putting Cynthia on the block. Todrick and Misha have promised that they will continue to vote how he wants, but he's not sure if he can trust that. I think he was just talking to Cynthia and he knows that that's a possibility. And with that in mind, he could put somebody else up on the block, but the intent would be to send Catan home regardless.
Okay. Wow. So this changes everything. Okay. So if Mariah wins the veto, Chris Catan could go home on Monday night.
Yes.
Oh, we can't be having that. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. What if Chris Kattan wins the veto?
I'm sorry. Oh. That was rude.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone has thought that far up.
It would probably be Lamar or Cynthia or something along those lines as a pawn to send Mariah home. But again, if Cynthia were to go up, it is certainly it leaves the option open for them to flip the vote against her and keep Mariah and or Kattan, depending on which one is still on the block against Cynthia.
Okay. Interesting. And it probably is not a veto that under any circumstances Chris Kattan would have a shot at. But I think the type that they do during a live show, I think that involves a lot of like agility, typically of like it tends to be like a lot of like running back and forth elements.
Typically, however, they haven't done a quiz yet.
Yeah.
And a quiz is a great one for a live show. They're not really doing live HOHs at all. Mm-hmm. It seems. So I wouldn't be surprised if this was some kind of quiz veto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what questions could Chris Kattan answer?
How many bites does it take to eat a cake?
I mean, if it was Chris Kattan trivia, I'm not sure he could win.
How many rotten tomatoes do you have?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I guess we'll see what happens. And then what will be the schedule after that? Then we'll have a new HOH. Then we'll have no episode, Tuesday night? And then
Tuesday night, no episode.
And then we'll get an H. And then it's Wednesday and then Friday this week?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So we'll get the HOH and noms, and then Friday we'll get veto.
Another two-hour episode coming up on Friday.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my God. Allie, can you handle all that?
I'm just excited to go back to watching without the pressure of having to come here and recap it all. And I'm just getting to listen to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to see how this shakes out. You know, they're sleeping on Carson. You don't want to, the fact that they're going for Cynthia is news to me and not as like the replacement and Chris Kattan. And you let someone like Carson squeak by who everyone loves. And I'm hope he's going to be the underdog story here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the reason Kirkpatrick wouldn't put Carson up is because they're pushing for Carson so hard. He knows for sure if he'll put him out.
That's all we need. One more week one more week, LOL. One more day for Carson, and that's it. It's about to be a breakaway. He's going to be the next HOH, and we're off to the races.
Yeah. Has there been a lot of talk on the BB streets about Carson's photo on the memory wall?
What about it, Rob?
That he looks like an animated, like almost like that. They put up like a BB Comics of Carson compared to everybody else. That it does not look like even like a picture like of a human being. It looks like it's like a picture of like Carson from maybe the cartoon adaptation of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Well, like that's what you get when they get to submit their own photos, because like Chris Kattan is from his wiki. Like it's not, these are not headshots they took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got like lens flare on it. He's doing like a peace sign.
Yeah,
it's got the pop collar.
It's wild.
And then Mariah above him is just a face on a gray background.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess do your own HOA or memory wall photos this season. Just let you like upload one. It's like Twitter.
I did see a funny thing today on feeds. It was a conversation that Lamar was in. Lamar literally participated in a veto where there was a house guest choice, but then today was saying, I don't want to be involved in the veto. I don't want to play in the veto. Don't have me in the veto. And then I think it was with Todd, was it? And Todd was like, well, what if I get house guest choice? He's like, what is that? How does that work? But Lamar, you've watched this play out, but this is why I do love these celebrities, and especially the ones that might not be completely focusing on game and are just, you know, spacing out in that house and like doing their own thing. He had another exchange today with Shayna. Shayna was doing like crystal healing, I think. And the crystal told him that him and Chloe are going to get married.
Huge if true.
Listen, he was happy. Okay. Yeah. Lamar is just living his best life in this house, really getting what he was looking for. So I can't complain.
Yeah. I mean, I'm rooting for these two after, 4 days of watching Lamar Odom on Celebrity Big Brother, Taryn.
I if we don't get Chloe on an episode at some point commenting, then what are they doing? What was even the purpose of this entire season?
Yeah.
And if we,
look, my ex ever goes on TV, don't call me, don't at me. I don't want to be involved. Like, I'm not here for this storyline for Lamar.
In my eyes, she is on stage with Julie, and Julie is asking her like, hey, so what do you think? Are you gonna get back with Lamar? And she's like, I guess never say never.
Ooh. I love.
Is that what she means by love one another? Is that like
love one another? Yes.
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 What you don't see is that they cut it off every time, but she says, love one another, Chloe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talking to you. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I will say, unless you're like playing the regular season of Big Brother and you like won, I don't think anyone's coming off the season in all these compilations and footage that they have of them and their ex being like, I really messed up with that one. Like, we got to rekindle this. That isn't what's going to be happening for 98% of people. And I think Lamar, unfortunately, is more of a dream than a reality for you.
Are you saying that if your ex went on a reality show and there was a headline that said, your ex pooped the bed on a Big Brother celebrity?
Right.
Like, it depends. Is my ex Jacob Jones? Then I'm in. Then mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We forget about that, but that was literally the one headline news that we've gotten so far that ended up on TMZ.
In fairness, I think he's had worse headlines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is like, it's like a, 2 out of 10.
I mean, if he's out here trying to, win someone back, poop on the bed is not exactly the way back to the heart. That's not the key.
That's right. That's like the old saying. Yep.
Yeah.
Puya, anything else from the weekend in Big Brother that you wanted to highlight while you were here?
I mean, listen, tomorrow night, someone's going home. Whether it's Mariah, whether it's Chris Kattan, whether it's Cynthia goes up and ends up leaving, which is the most unlikely of all of them. We're going to lose someone I like. And it's going to be sad to see them go, but this is the nature of the game. It's going to be a quick pace. We're literally over a third of the way gone now. The fact that Mariah survived and wasn't the first boot, the grenade curse is over. I don't care. If Mariah leaves, I will join the audience and we will champion Chris Kattan to the end. Mm-hmm. Me, Chris Kattan, and Lamar on this. But I'm enjoying the content. It's been 1 week only, and it's been such a fun week already. And I can't. I'm looking forward to seeing where we go from here.
Okay. All right. Allie, anything else, BB Celeb, before I talk about what's coming up?
No, thank you for having me. This is so great. Always a blast to be able to podcast with all three of you Big Brother experts while I come in here and make potato jokes.
Mm-hmm. Look, the potato jokes are needed.
everyone's got their purpose, you know?
Yeah, Taryn, was Lamar looking for a potato pancake, perhaps?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, maybe he had a vision of the HOH. Mm. So he was like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I got this. Give me a pancake.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about what's coming up. It'll be tomorrow morning. Taryn will be back live for a Maggie Monday.
Yes. We'll update you on what's going on today. It's pretty quiet, but maybe there'll be some interesting stuff tonight.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, hear what Maggie Morgan has to say about these Big Brother house guests after a couple of days in. Feels like weeks. Okay. Of course, we'll be back on Monday night after the live episode coming up on Monday night. Hope you can join us then. Again, that's going to be at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time coming up on Monday, a little bit of a later start time, a 1 hour episode starting at 9 on CBS. Taryn, the Stockwatch is going to be back on Tuesday night with Melissa and Asia.
Yes, be prepared to invest in the most volatile market of the day.
Mm-hmm.
More volatile than NFTs and cryptocurrency combined. It's Big Brother celebrities.
It's a bear market out there. I mean, Taryn, you have talked about in the past about how that there was like times when we have the overall, like, was it during Big Brother Canada 9 when the stock watch was at its lowest value ever?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Look, we have a chance to, like, you know, who, you know, we'll, how many fives will there be?
I don't know. Can we, who's a replacement level player?
I don't know. Will they be judged on the same scale as the regular players, or will this be up against the house guests of celebrity Big Brother?
I mean, everybody judges differently. You just kind of have to feel for it.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. All right. So, then after the stock watch coming up, Wednesday night, what a great show we are going to have, because we're going to be joined by Hannah Chada from Big Brother 23. How about that?
Chada.
Join Taryn, Phil Thompson, and myself as we talk with Big Brother 23's Chada about everything going on Celebrity Big Brother. We'll talk about who the new HOH is and much more coming up on Wednesday. Of course, don't miss any of our coverage of The Amazing Race 33. Had a great recap this week with Jess and Mike talking about the episode in Corsica. Very, very funny episode. If you missed that recap, definitely check it out before we get to next week's episode. And then Puya and I are going to be back tomorrow for 90 Day Fiancé. But before then, catch up on last week's episode of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. Puya, I feel like we're closing in on the home stretch.
It does feel like that. We're going to lose the single life officially after this recap tomorrow. And then before the 90 day, it might not be that far along. It felt like it was going to be longer initially, but the more episodes we see, I really think this is going to be a short
big
season.
Big crescendo. So. Coming up. Big finale.
I'm not ready. I'm terrified because I know you've watched a little bit. I haven't seen anything since the cliffhanger last episode. I am terrified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yes. Could be a bloodbath on 90 Day Fiancé coming up this week. Then we also have more podcasts coming your way. Joe Millionaire. Jenny and I, somehow 5 weeks into Joe Millionaire, for richer or for poor. Allie, have you dabbled in any of the Joe Millionaire?
I am waiting for like a full binge, including the podcast. I am very excited though that the people, this is like the People's Choice podcast. People have kept it alive. Mm-hmm. I'm all for more Jenny Autumn and Rob. And I will be catching up. I'm sadly behind.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well, you're missing
but
so
I'm
much.
But I'm going right now to re-leave another review, which I've obviously already done.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yes. Okay. Joe Millionaire, for richer or for poorer, with Jenny Autumn. Check that out on RHAP. And then, is coming up tonight. I watched the new Netflix show Murderville on Nothing But Netflix. Chappelle and I were joined by Sarah Carradine and Mari Forth to talk about a brand new show where, Taryn, remember when Tom Green was like trying to solve the detective mysteries? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, imagine that, but with Will Arnett, but there are celebrities that do not have the script for this true crime show where Will Arnett is trying to crack the case along with celebrities by his side. We talked about the first episode with Conan O'Brien on this week's Nothing But Netflix.
How's the show? I was wondering if I should check it out.
I think that it depends on how much you like. If you are coming in like, ooh, this is a mystery show. No, I think you're going to be disappointed. If you are there for, okay, I like improv comedy. I like Will Arnett. I think you will enjoy it.
Why buy the cow? I just heard now what you think about the show.
Yeah. Okay. Come on. Well, we'll go a little bit more.
Check out the podcast, Taryn, if you want to know if you should watch the show.
Yeah, that's the log line.
The people that got through this entire podcast are not the people that think, I don't need to listen to that one. I already know what they think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a little hit or miss based on the celebrity guest.
Hmm. Makes sense.
There are some people the format works better for, and some people works less well for. Okay.
Makes sense.
Then, and if you miss anything, jump in with the weekly wrap up where we are talking about all the best moments of the week. Will there be something from tonight? Who knows? Check out this weekend on the weekly wrap up to find out all the best moments and conversations from the week on RHAP. And of course, Taryn, the Taryn Show with Asia.
Yes. Good stuff.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
See, now that's a pitch. Terrence's not giving you anything. Mm-hmm. You want to know about it? You listen to the podcast. Yeah.
On Married at First Sight this week, Bryce Isaiah stopped by with the aforementioned Asia and Jason Reed to talk about his thoughts. And Bryce was fired up. I heard a clip in the weekly wrap up. Bryce, you know, he loves talking about these shows. It was a great episode with Asia and Jason over on Married at First Sight.
It's a stunning photo of Bryce. I've never seen a bad photo of Bryce, but the promo photo, very stunning.
Well, we only get the best. It's like we go with like the Carson Kressley of like, give us the most iconic photo and we'll use it. All right. Of course, it's brand new month, February. It's still a new month, right? I guess, Allie, it's not too late in the month to say it's a new month, right?
I got a Happy New Year like 3 days ago, so I think you can say it's a brand new month.
It's a short month, but it's, you know, it's still the first quarter of February.
And, not even a week yet, Rob. It's the 6th, yeah, so it counts.
Yeah. It's still plenty of time to jump in on robswebsite.com/patron because we have got the slop coming back this month. We've got a jam-packed show coming up this Thursday. Talk about all of the slop. Plus, we make it easy for you to watch Australian Survivor. Follow all of Shannon Gus's coverage. Another week just kicked off on Australian Survivor. Plus, everything in our Patreon podcast feed and much more over at robswebsite.com/patron. And of course, hit that subscribe button if you're watching us on YouTube, and then make sure you subscribe to Rob's Podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, follow us on social media at Rob's Podcast on Twitter and TikTok, and at RHAP Grams on Instagram. All right. Thank you so much, Scott, for all of that. Allie, what's coming up for you?
I'm just, you know, I'm just enjoying the content you guys are providing. The challenge wrap up is on Yadis until All-Stars 3 will be back at some point, unknown. Enjoying the off time. I did a quick little Vanderpump Rules podcast with Brian Cohen and Haley and TikTok Nicole. That was fun. That's on the reality TV wrap ups. If you're a Vanderpump Rules head,
is that what they're called?
I'm doing. They are now. I'm doing New Girl Old Guy. Synergy's not great because we're off this week. I'm going to blame the Olympics, but I do think it's my fault this week that we didn't do it. With the great Kiwi Weens, Kiva Winokur at anchor.fm/newgirloldguy. And I'm just listening to all the great content on reality TV wrap-ups. You guys have really pumped in some new shows. And I am behind, as I've already mentioned, but enjoying it.
How can you not be?
I'm just, follow me at Last Tweets for... almost no tweets, probably.
Yeah. All right. Well, great job tonight, Allie. Thank you so much. Puya, what's coming up for you?
Let's see. So we've already talked about the 90. I'm excited for that. I will be on the sports wrap up this upcoming week with Grace. Yes. We will be talking the Olympics. I am not the one suited for that. I'm not the main for that. I will be catching up. However, I will be talking all about soccer. We had the Africa Cup of Nations that went down this past week that finished. And then also all the transfer window from this past January. We're going to get into that. Talk about what happened. Who won? Who lost? All that good stuff coming soccer your way over there. In a about, you know, Super Bowl Sunday is really close. That's next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
At the end of that night, we will be getting a new show over on Peacock by the name of Bel Air. And I will be talking about that show with our very own Chappelle over on Post Show Recaps. We're at least going to be talking about the premiere. So I'm excited about that. That'll be coming soon. And then for my musings on Big Brother and all the memes, go over to at Puyaism on Twitter. And then for my, you know, content non-Big Brother related, go over to my Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. We do stuff there every week, including a weekly stream where we play amongst the podcasters, suss each other, yell, laugh, not cry, but you know, that could, you know, maybe on the inside when you lose some time, but we have a good time there. So come check us out over there.
Puya, what are they doing for the Bel Air that after the Super Bowl is over, you can go to Peacock and then watch it live after the Super Bowl?
No, I'm not sure when it's dropping. I just know it's dropping on the 13th. So that could be like in the morning of the 13th or not, you know, potentially. I know I'll be watching it probably at nighttime.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But yeah, great job. Looking forward to catching up tomorrow on all the 90-day talk coming up. And then, Taryn, what's coming up for you?
Well, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, live feed update. This coming Tuesday, a new Taryn show will drop with Nicole Maines, a.k.a. Supergirl. So make sure you check that one out. You can, of course, always find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, hanging out, definitely crying at every Among Us / Goose Goose Duck game. You can find my YouTube channel, Taryn's Quest, and I'll be talking to, like I said, Raised by Wolves in the coming weeks. So over on Post Show Recaps, check that out as well.
All right. Well, fun recap. We made something out of nothing here tonight once again. We'll be back Monday night to talk about The Eviction. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.